Hey, good afternoon to you, Namibia, and to all our listeners tuning in from across the globe. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you are listening to On The Reader News Analysis, your trusted space for informed updates, critical insights, and unpacked developments shaping Namibia's economic, social, and governance landscape. Now, it's Friday, the 31st of October, 2025, the final day of the month. And as we close out October, we continue doing what we do best, unpicking the stories that matter from governance to grassroots, from policy to the people. Now, On The Reader News Analysis is your weekday guide to what matters most, bringing you the headlines behind the headlines every Monday to Friday from 1300 hours to 1430. Now, this isn't just another news show. On The Reader News Analysis is about depth and dialogue. It is where we interrogate the stories shaping our nation, ask the hard questions, revisit past coverage, and connect the dots through archived audio, expert commentary, and sharp analysis. From major policy decisions to the everyday realities of Namibians, we bring you the full story with context, clarity, and credibility. Remember, you can catch On The Reader News Analysis live on all Eagle FM frequencies via the Eagle FM app or the Eagle FM website. And don't forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel for real-time updates, exclusive interview clips, and behind-the-scenes content. So as we wrap up October and look ahead to a brand new month, stay tuned, stay curious, and always step beyond the surface. This is On The Reader News Analysis, where Namibia comes to think. And now let's jump into today's top stories. Transparency and accountability aren't just governance buzzwords. They're the heartbeat of public trust. When institutions are transparent, citizens can see where money goes and how decisions are made. Accountability makes sure leaders answer for those choices. Together, they fight corruption, improve service delivery, and strengthen democracy. Now, Namibia has one of the most advanced anti-corruption frameworks in Southern Africa, but enforcement and trust still lag behind. Anti-Corruption Commission Act of 2003 established the Anti-Corruption Commission. Financial Intelligence Act of 2012 created the Financial Intelligence Center to task suspicious financial transactions and money laundering. National Anti-Corruption Strategy Action Plan of 2021 to 2025, current roadmap for preventing, detecting, and punishing corruption with goals on transparency, civil education, and institutional collaboration. Now let's talk about numbers as well. Transparency International CPI of 2024 indicated that Namibia scored 49 out of 100 and it ranked 59th globally. Stable, but showing stagnation in progress. The Afrobarometer of 2024 indicated that about 78% of Namibians believe corruption increased over the past year. Now, of course, today I'm joined in studio by Mr. Paulus Noah, who is the Director General at the Anti-Corruption Commission. A very good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome to On The Reader News Analysis.
A very good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me.
Okay, pleasure is all mine. Other than that, I'm also joined by Mr. Brian Asab, who is the Director at the Financial Intelligence Center. A very good afternoon to you, sir, and it's a pleasure to have you in studio with us.
Good afternoon. It's also a pleasure to be with you, and good afternoon to all the listeners.
Now, of course, I think I want to give context, and I would love to hear from the horse's mouth themselves. When we're talking about transparency and accountability, what exactly is that, Mr. Paulus Noah?
Oh, yes. Transparency and accountability. Those are the fundamental principles of good governance.
Mm.
You cannot not and never talk about good governance if your systems are not characterized by transparency, nor by accountability. In any case, accountability follows transparency, meaning that transparency is a precondition to accountability because you don't account if you don't believe in transparency.
That's true.
That's my take.
Mr. Brian, also still posing the same question to you. When we're talking about transparency and accountability, why is this very important when it comes to public trust or public institutions or private even institutions for that matter?
Well, I think first of all, it's important to note that when governments get elected by the electorate, they are being put into position. And the fundamental underpinning for that is that the electorate has trust in those that we elect. And with that trust comes a high level of transparency. In other words, what is it that we have entrusted you when we put you in power? Can we have a view of what we have entrusted you? How do you deal with what we have entrusted you in terms of governing our country on our behalf?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the accessibility for those that are placed in power and to rule and govern on behalf of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not a private affair. It is a public affair.
Mm-hmm.
And the public has a right to access every information that relates to their welfare. So, and then accountability, obviously, these two concepts are inseparable in by nature.
Mm-hmm.
That it is the ability and the right of the electorate to hold those that are in public power accountable to the execution of their mandate.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I think I come back to you, Dr. Paulus Noah. Namibia seems to have quite strong anti-corruption laws. Has strong anti-corruption laws on paper. Why do you think enforcement and public trust still seem to lag behind?
All right. You say it's strong. Perhaps it's strong.
Okay.
But I believe it's not as strong as it should be.
Okay.
Yes, because, a number of issues that are really concerned to the public are not covered under the present law.
Mm.
Yes, and that is why when public members sometimes want certain issue to be investigated, you will find that those issues are not included under the defined list of offenses that the Anti-Corruption Commission has mandated to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that the public needs to understand is that the Anti-Corruption Commission is set up as a constitutional body.
Yes.
The mandate is defined in the anti-corruption law, the very same law that you just made reference to.
Mm-hmm.
And the law give a list of what are the offenses that ACC can investigate.
Mm.
Anything which does not fall
in
under that list, no matter how the public might be morally concerned about it.
And maybe morally correct even.
Yeah, and maybe morally correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's not within the power of the Anti-Corruption Commission to investigate.
Mm.
Remember that Namibia is a republic which is governed by rule of law.
True.
Anything that you do, you have to do it within the confine of the law.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, Anti-Corruption Commission has to take up a matter which is complained by a member of the public and decide to investigate it, and that matter happened to be outside the parameters of the mandate of the ACC. One, the first problem you have is already to serve summons to those alleged suspects to appear for interview. So you cannot serve someone to someone to appear before you on a suspect of charges that do not fall under your authority, because you are already outside your power to do that.
True.
You cannot take an action against that particular person, because look, the Constitution of the Republic of Namibia provides for fundamental rights.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot encroach upon you unless you have done something which is contrary to the law, and I have got power to deal with you in terms of the law as well.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, being an investigator of Anti-Corruption Commission or a director general, it does not put you above the law. You still operate within the confine of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that you do outside the law, then yourself become probably a subject of investigation, because your act will be malicious.
That's quite the position.
Mm, that's quite interesting and very new to my ears to actually hear that. But I've seen companies doing amendment to their acts or amendment, in that regard. Then when perhaps is ACC intending to amend that so that some of those offenses, which are now probably, I mean, we are in a new era now, things are advancing, those so that they can fall within the law so that then they can also be prosecuted, those that are going against the law?
Oh, yes. No, you are right. And that's a good question. As I'm speaking to you, we have already a bill that we are busy working on.
Mm-hmm.
It is with the drafters from the Ministry of Justice who are working together with the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the process of ready of amending the Anti-Corruption Act so that we can consider including some of the powers that they currently and the Anti-Corruption Commission does not have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that way it may give additional teeth to the Anti-Corruption Commission.
Indeed.
But you also need to appreciate that amendment of the law is a process.
Yeah,
it's true. Not something that you wake up today and then you just say write something amending and then you take to Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process which will go as far as a Cabinet Committee on Legislation. They must scrutinize it, then go to the Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
The Attorney General must endorse. And then from there, it goes through all those levels
mm-hmm.
up to Parliament. And Parliament, again, when it looks at it, you know how many bills have been withdrawn from Parliament, including
forgive
the
me,
ombudsman's...
Forgive me, Noah. Yes. Just a scheduled commercial break quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMPA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMPA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Of course, and we are back. Like I said, I'm joined in studio by Mr. Paulus Noah and as well also Mr. Brian Aseb. Now, of course, we were discussing about some of the laws outside, some of the offenses outside the parameters of ACC. Noah, perhaps you can get into just some of those offenses that are perhaps outside the parameters of ACC for context and just for education purposes as well.
Well, yeah, okay. Let me just give you an example of what's happening in Namibia.
Okay.
In Namibia, what you mostly observe is maladministration and mismanagement.
Mm-hmm.
Resources being maladministered.
Yes.
Resources being mismanaged. Sometimes when this is happening, you know, it's a wastage of resources.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the resources are not spent for what it was meant for. But then, criminally speaking, you will not find sufficient criminal elements to prosecute a person on that particular aspect. One other aspect that I may also give as an example is where we have investigated something and you find that there are no elements of criminality,
mm-hmm.
but there are elements of misconduct
mm.
where actions need to be taken by the, let me say, by the appointing authority.
Yeah.
And you refer to that either the appointing authority or the supervisor with directives. Currently, the law does not provide for consequences if that authority does not comply with the directive that comes from the Anti-Corruption Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a gap. As a result, it's like it's left to the discretion of the authority whether to subject this person to disciplinary measures or not.
Mm.
The public needs to understand that to effectively fight corruption,
yeah.
it's not only when every allegations ends up with the criminal courts. You effectively fight corruption even when you take administrative actions against the offenders.
Mm-hmm.
For argument's sake, if I am the appointing authority of my brother here, Mr. Brian, and my brother goes against the rules that I have set for him to do, I may take actions and remove him from that particular position.
Before waiting for ACC.
Yes, that is already taking actions against, you know, possible corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's not that every case has to end up in a criminal court.
Mm-hmm.
If a case has to end up in a criminal court, there must be full elements that show that there was an intention of criminality. There was a mens rea to commit a crime of corruption. But when there is no mens rea to commit a crime of corruption, does not necessarily also mean that corruption has not been committed.
Sure.
Corruption has been committed. That's why I used to say what some people don't like me to say, that there is criminal corruption and administrative corruption. Most of what's happening in Namibia is in the form of administrative corruption, where people are not complying with the policies. They are not complying with the procedures. They are not complying with the rules. And then they try to justify their own corrupt behavior. I can give you another example of what's happening in some ministries. You know what they do when they want to give a form of a gratification to their colleagues?
Yeah.
Instead of going for proper procurement procedures and get the company that meet the requirements to be awarded a tender, they try to justify always of these things of saying that, no, this is a direct procurement, this is an immediate procurement, and all this unfortunate, unacceptable type of, you know, giving tenders to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening.
True.
Go to these ministries. I can mention some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Minister of Agriculture is happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Minister of Health and others is happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And many others. Yes.
Mm. Very powerful and very interesting. But let me give the floor again now to Mr. Brian Aseb. Mr. Brian Aseb, when a Financial Intelligence Center comes to my mind, you know what comes to my mind first? Money laundering. Now I want to find out, how does the Financial Intelligence Center detect and respond to suspicious financial activities within the public institutions?
Very good. It's a very valid and contemporary question. And similar to what the Director General, Mr. Nawaf, just said,
mm-hmm.
that the FIC by nature is also a creature of statute. So our mandate is essentially confined within the framework of the law that establishes the Financial Intelligence Center.
Mm-hmm.
And our mandate relates to the combating prevention of money laundering, terrorism financing and activities, and proliferation financing. Now, it's a beautiful word, but in simple terms, it's you know, the common parlance indicates to financing of weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
So that's essentially the mandate of the Financial Intelligence Center.
Mm-hmm.
And with the amendment of our law in 2023, the entity actually became autonomous in our working. So autonomous in the sense that there should be there should be no interference in the workings of the FIC.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to your question in terms of how does the FIC detect or deal with money laundering within the public sector? So there's no discrimination in terms of how we deal with money laundering in the private or public sector.
Okay.
Money laundering in itself is classified as a crime in the Prevention and Organized Crime Act. Mm-hmm. And as such, what we essentially do is we work on reporting. So there are accountable institutions which deals from banks and other similar types of institutions. And then there are reporting institutions. So essentially these institutions needs to report any indications of money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
And you may or may not have heard about the concept of know your customer. So in other words, an accountable institution, basically you need to know your customer, and based on your customer profile, if he or she transact out of that profile, it should raise some suspicion within your institution, and you should flag it what we call either a suspicious activity report or suspicious transaction report with the Financial Intelligence Center. And we do our magic, which I will not go into detail, into detail with.
Okay.
And then obviously we we'll cooperate with sister institutions of Tatenoa next to me, the ACC. So the ACC is a recipient of our financial intelligence report when we discover money laundering elements or any form of money laundering, we will liaise with competent authorities, of which the ACC is one, the Namibian police is one, and we will make sure that those that have benefited from money laundering do not benefit in a continued manner. So we'll go after the assets, we'll make sure that, you know, investigations are done accordingly and they are held accountable, which is the essence of our conversation here.
Of course, of course. I've heard of churches that have been doing money laundering or have been suspected of money laundering. And of course, immediately then comes in to say, let's freeze their accounts. But then I've particularly had a pastor complain to say, they froze my accounts. They didn't even give me heads up. And of course, they wouldn't give you heads up. You will take all the money out. How do you detect or what measures or what system is in place to see whether this church is operating correctly and this one is doing money laundering?
So churches falls into the category which we call the non-profit organization sector.
Yeah.
And if there are any form or any indication, and again, it comes to the issue that I mentioned earlier, irrespective of what, whether you're in the public or private sector, irrespective of what type of institution you are, if there's an element or a suspicion of money laundering, the law enables the Financial Intelligence Center to intervene on any bank account without a due process in terms of letting you know, what we call in law the audit process. So we are entitled to intervene, which is a temporary measure, I must say. For 18 days, we could then freeze your bank account and we could do further analysis on that bank account to either dispel or confirm our suspicion. And when our suspicion is dispelled, obviously we'll uplift that blockage or that freezing of the account. But if there's confirmation of our suspicion or the reporting entity that reported or the accountable institution that reported, once we confirm that there's money laundering, the law obviously allows us to the prosecutor general to then intervene in a more permanent way by obtaining a preservation order, which is a court process. It's a litigious process. And then obviously we will then liaise with the appropriate competent authority, whether it be the Anti-Corruption Commission or the Namibian Police or the tax authorities for that matter.
NAMRA.
That's right. Or NAMRA. So those are predominantly the institutions that we disseminate our intelligence reports to, and they consider it and within their discretion investigate the matter.
Mr. Brian, would you say that the Financial Intelligence Center is properly equipped both in staffing and also tools, considering that we are now moving into modern financial crimes?
If you, and this is a topical issue, one of the issues that we had to deal with during our grey listing process was the inadequate financial human resource and system resourcing of the Financial Intelligence Center. And within a space of, you know, less than a year and a half, we were adequately resourced financially. We were able to start recruiting, not at the level that we had to, because it's quite a procedural process for someone to come and work at the FIC, because integrity is a very high watermark.
Okay.
But at this point in time, we have built sufficient human resource capacity. Mm-hmm. We are starting to implement high tech systems mm-hmm. to, you know, assist us with the analysis of the volumes of data that we deal with on a daily basis. So to answer your question in short is that there is a systematic approach to equip the Financial Intelligence Center, and not just us, because for us it's really about strengthening the whole criminal justice system. Because you will agree with me that if the Financial Intelligence Center is well equipped,
yeah,
and our sister organizations is not well equipped, then our information may you know, not become useful.
Mm.
So it's for us, and that's why even in our gray listing process, we came together as a national coordinating committee, and we said, how do we equip all these institutions? How do we build capacity?
Mm-hmm.
How do we retain the capacity that we built in a sustainable manner so that we deal and confront corruption, fraud, which is, you know, some of the high predicate offenses in our national risk assessment. How do we, from a systemic approach, deal with them in a sustainable way?
Mm. You talk about great listing, but I'll come back to that topic definitely. Tata Noah, back to you.
Mm.
What do the public play? What role does the public play in anti-corruption, in combating corruption? And also, while you are at that, can you also get into the Whistleblowers Protection Act? Just how far with that?
Oh, yeah. You are touching on the role that the public can play in the fight against corruption,
which
is very, very critical. The public has a very, very important role to play,
more
especially that we are here on the subject of transparency. The public has a role in the first place to expose corruption. And when exposing corruption, it's not only when the public is reporting to Anti-Corruption Commission, it's when it's reporting to any other institution that has authority to administer certain public affairs.
Mm-hmm.
As I said already, that it's not always about criminal elements. It's also about administrative elements that are very destructive to the economy and the development. All this needs to be exposed. The public has a role to report as well to the Anti-Corruption Commission. The Act, as it stands now, though it's not adequate enough, as we have already agreed, it makes provision that no person who has reported to Anti-Corruption Commission should be prosecuted or face some litigation actions.
Okay.
But obviously, in everything, there are certain conditions, because you cannot come and just maliciously, when you know what you are doing is malicious, and you do not expect consequences from that.
Mm-hmm.
That will be an exception to that protection. This is not, as I said, it's not adequate enough. There's a Whistleblower Protection Act, which is under the Ministry of Justice, and the Ministry of Justice is now in the process of recruitment so that the law can be fully implemented. That is really a positive news from the Minister of Justice.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but in the meantime, it does not mean that the public is not protected when they are reporting, because we have a legal obligation not to divulge the identity of those who are reporting to the Anti-Corruption Commission.
Okay.
We keep our information very confidential.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we get the information, even from the Financial Intelligence Center, we don't share that information with the public.
Noted.
The public has got no business with that. We carry on the investigation based on that intelligence that we have received. So public has a key role to play. One thing that needs to be understood is that anyway, globally, the effective fight against corruption is through concerted efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Concerted effort by law enforcement agencies and also concerted efforts by all sectors of society. It's only through that that you can effectively fight corruption. Like as I said already, one way of fighting it is when you simply remove someone whom you think is potentially corrupt. And if he has to be kept in that particular position, he's going to corrupt the whole system. You remove that person.
Mm.
You don't need to necessarily drag that person to court. If you have someone whom you have appointed as chief executive officer,
yes,
of a public company, and now this person is using his position or her position to corrupt the system, the governing body, because a public company, almost all of them have got governing body,
mm-hmm,
which we call boards of directors.
Yeah.
They have got authority to do away with that particular person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only when they reported to anti-corruption commission, but, you know, you take administrative action that you are given by the law. The law gives you that power. You don't wait until damage is caused. Because when you come to anti-corruption commission, a waste damage has already been caused. And chances that you recover what has been damaged is very minimal.
Indeed.
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You may find that the person is not even any longer there. Evidence has disappeared. But as an administrative authority, you have got a good standard or level of dealing with that person without necessarily proving what needs to be proven in the criminal court.
Indeed.
Very simple and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Call a person to account. And if he's not able to account, you take appropriate actions.
Indeed.
Very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is one of also the malpractices that are outside the governing law of ACC. Is that correct?
That is it. Because look, ACC is not a governing body of all these institutions.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the one to administer. We are an investigation body, criminal investigation body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for us to go and administer the particular ministry to say, you must make sure that every day you are on time.
Yeah.
You should not leave your office before 5 o'clock. It's not our business to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Every institution has got administrators. Either the executive directors or the supervisor who's supposed to do that type of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's not for ACC. But when people are not performing, remember that non-performance is corruption as well. But it may not necessarily be the type of corruption that you must direct to the criminal record, but it's a type of corruption that must be dealt with by the authority itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you charge a person with misconduct for failing to deliver service, because how can a person be just a salary collector and is not deliver service to the public?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, public want now anti-corruption commission to deal with all those sort of things.
I hear you. Okay. Mr. Brian, back to you now, talking about FATF, that is the Financial Action Task Force. Recently, South Africa has been removed from that and Namibia is still on that list. Just exactly where are we? And I think, correct me where I'm wrong, I believe it was last year whereby the FATF suggested that Namibia has to do certain things in order for implement certain things in order for it to finally be removed. Just exactly how far? You did speak about systems that whereby maybe sort of not speaking to each other, but then how far are we in actually trying to maybe put in place those things that they have suggested we should put in place?
Perfect. So I think it's common cause and common knowledge now in the public domain that we were grey listed on the 24th of February last year. So what essentially happens is that the country then has to demonstrate political will to remediate the findings of the FATF, which is based on a mutual evaluation process that is done within the Eastern and Southern Africa region. So it's essentially a peer review to look at the technical compliance with the Financial Action Task Force standards and the effective implementation of those standards across entities within the public space. In other words, the FIC, the ACC, the Office of the Prosecutor General. So essentially, we were found lacking on 13 items.
Okay.
And the country has 2 years, naturally, the country has 2 years to remediate those strategic deficiencies. So our reporting cycle started last year in June. So last year in June, we essentially had to start remediating these action items. And from a strategic point of view, what the National Coordinating Committee did, coordinated by the Financial Intelligence Center, but the ACC, the OPG, NAMRA, the Bankers Association, it's a multi-sectoral committee that has been constituted and endorsed by Cabinet, has done is that we obviously mapped out a critical flight path for us to remediate these action items. And where we stand now, unprecedentedly, is that Namibia has remediated 11 out of the 13 action items.
Yeah.
And as we sit here, I just reviewed our next report, which is now due on the 17th of November. So essentially on the 17th of November, we'll be submitting our next round of cyclical reports to the what we call the Africa Joint Group, which is a subcommittee, if you wish, of the Financial Action Task Force. And then the process would be that we will then attend a face-to-face meeting where we basically elaborate on our written report and based on how the country has dealt with these two issues, and I'll elaborate on what they are at this point in time. We will then be assessed in the face-to-face meeting and the FATF will make a decision whether Namibia can be nominated for an on-site visit by assessors to come and look at these reports that we have done over the last, you know, year and a half. We have submitted thus far 3 compulsory reports and 1 voluntary report. So, and we did a voluntary report because we wanted to understand what is the attitude of the assessors, etc. So it was a strategic issue. We were not, and this was last year, June, but then obviously we entered the compulsory reporting cycle. And the country has demonstrated, first of all, the political will, and again, entities were financially resourced, probably not to the level that we wanted to, but it still demonstrates that government is willing to make sure that we do remediate these action items and implement a sustainable AML framework within the country. So the two issues that currently remains is that we must demonstrate a sustained ability to investigate money laundering, terrorism financing, and proliferation financing activities. So essentially, can we in a sustainable way investigate and prosecute money laundering offenses? That's the first one.
Yeah.
The second one is similar to that. Can we, in a sustained manner, identify terrorism financing activities and terrorism financing? And when it occurs, how responsive is the institutions within the country to that threat? And so we essentially have to show statistics over a period of time. And you will agree with me that statistics you don't build overnight.
Sure.
But I can assure the nation that with the assistance of the ACC, the OPG, the Namibian police, the NAMRAS alike, we are able to demonstrate. And we continue to see an upwards curve in terms of the sustainability of our efforts. And that's where we are. So essentially, we are looking towards May, June, when the FATF plenary will be sitting to then come out of grey listing.
Okay. Can you talk to us about or educate us on what disadvantages puts Namibia in with it being grey listed?
So there is this scholarly and professional debate in terms of what are the implications for countries when they enter or are added to the list of jurisdictions under enhanced monitoring by the FATF, commonly known as the grey listing. One of the biggest risk or implications that we have seen is that it's obviously reputational.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody wants to be labeled, whether you're an individual or a country. You don't want to be labeled or associated with shortcomings of this nature. And then obviously what we have also seen is that there could be enhanced due diligence from foreign direct investors when they want to deal with the country, whether it's at national level or at institutional level. So they would essentially do some enhanced due diligence, which obviously comes at a price. And that is the other one. And then we have also seen that there is a higher lack of willingness to invest in a country that is listed on the FATF grey list.
I see.
But you would have seen that in the short term, what has happened with the South African rand overnight, when South Africa was delisted, is that the rand immediately strengthened against the major trading currencies or foreign currencies. And that obviously is a very useful indicator to assess the short-term impact of being grey-listed as a country.
Mm-hmm. We take a quick commercial break now, but we'll be back to continue. Okay.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota enjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Get 4 kg Cadilla mixed chicken for $189.99. 1 kg Pasta Grande spaghetti for $19.99. 750 gram Nola mayo for just $37.99. And 2 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for only $52.99. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Juka, okukwetera oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo, otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejepa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa, nukumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge patafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ineko, berewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu matatu, omafelane Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
And of course, this is on the Reader News Analysis. We are continuing. Okay, Mr. Brian, how do you mitigate against the risk, or how do we mitigate against the risk of unauthorized expenditure or procurement in the, both in the public and private institutions?
Yeah, this is a very important question, especially, again, viewing it from a perspective of money laundering, because that's a very key element.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important that we implement strengthened controls. And by saying that, I would say any institution needs to establish robust internal audit departments, internal controls.
Mm.
And, you know, there is, for example, a concept, you know, in my previous life, I used to be in the Bank of Namibia the Deputy Director for Protection Services. And we employed in a various areas of sensitive areas, the concept of dual control.
Dual control. Explain.
Yeah, so in terms of dual control, you cannot, for example, have somebody coming into your studio alone and come and do whatever he or she wants to do. There must be two people at the same time to breach a particular control.
Let's talk about two doors. Our studio has two doors. One door opens and another door opens as well.
That's right. Or you have two locks at the same time two biometric access points. So those two people will essentially have to collude to breach the security or the control measure that was put in place. And the same holds true for public spending or private spending. If you know that you are at risk, you need to implement measures that reduce that risk. And one of that would be, for example, to have a primary authorizer for expenditure and a secondary authorizer for expenditure. So it enhances the quality or the accountability that we are talking about here this afternoon. And in the event that there's collusion, then you hold both accountable.
Absolutely.
And if you have people with integrity, or at least one of them with a higher level of integrity, the risk of that collusion is mitigated and is minimized.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a basic, there are multiple examples that I can proffer.
Yeah.
But I think that's a basic way, especially when it comes to public spending, is that there must be robust systems, auditors, and controls in place to ensure that money that was appropriated by Treasury for public spending is done so in a very responsible and accountable fashion.
I appreciate that. Now, still on this topic, I think I also just want to put it in layman's term for the listeners to properly understand. As I pose this question to you, Mr. Noah, I make an example to say I was at one point an accountant, and I was an accountant in the church, whereby I have to capture and then the pastor has to authorize. There is no way he can authorize what I didn't capture. So that system of two-door locks, I understand it so very well. But Mr. Noah, just exactly what do you say as you're coming now to speak? What do you say in terms of this? Do institutions, do ministries not perhaps have this systems in place? Because we still hear of corruption, money laundering, such things. And you begin to ask yourself, who then has access to treasury money, to public money alone without another person authorizing?
All right, thank you. I said at the beginning that Namibia is a rule of law based country.
Yeah.
Meaning that this country is governed by rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
Namibia is rich in terms of laws, in terms of rules, in terms of policies.
Yeah.
What is not happening in Namibia is strict compliance and enforcement of those laws, rules, and policies. Otherwise, they are there.
Okay.
All the mismanagement, maladministration that are happening in Namibia, they are happening against an existing policy document, an existing rules, and an existing law that prohibits certain conduct not to happen.
Yeah.
But because the failure here is because, as I said already, because those who are in charge fail to subject the wrongdoers to some actions for what they have done, and even showing them the doors. This is what caused us to be where we find ourselves today, losing millions out of mismanagement, out of maladministrations, because it's like no one wants to touch the other one. But when they apply for those supervisory positions and go through the interviews, they were very impressive.
Yes.
They made a lot of wonderful promises of what they are going to do. As soon as they are appointed in those positions, they start relaxing, you know, and they become buddies with those who are going against the set policies and rules. And then, as I said already, that You don't prosecute a person necessarily because a person has contravened the policy. But the administrative authority can discipline a person for failing to comply with a policy.
I was exactly about to come in to say, you know, there's a famous scripture that says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. If he or she is in place and has been given power and authority and is not actually executing it to ensure that HAPPI does not tamper with public funds, does not do money laundering, and the person on top is failing to, shouldn't we then deal with this person who is failing to put into action that which you're supposed to do?
That is exactly one of the reasons that prompted Anti-Corruption Commission now to amend the law.
Uh-huh.
If I can show you the bill that we have now developed,
yeah,
one of the key, new measures,
yeah,
is exactly that.
Yeah.
Where if you fail to take measures, then exactly you must now be criminally charged.
Mm-hmm.
No? Yes. Because you are complicit to what has happened.
Of course.
Yes. This is what we want to do now.
Because you're now complacent. I like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the measure that we are busy introducing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, obviously, you know that every institution, there is another person who is supervising the others.
Mm-hmm.
These people are not on their own. Their supervisor ought to take them to some disciplinary measure as well for failing to.
Mm-hmm.
But problem is that it is not so often that these things are happening.
Yes.
Yes.
Or seldomly happens for them.
That's why many of the things have become business as usual.
Mm.
And then we have to change the status quo really.
Mm-hmm. To business unusual.
Business unusual.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to move in a right direction and develop the economy of this country,
mm-hmm,
and make sure that there are opportunity for every citizen of this country,
mm-hmm,
it's only when we change our current attitude of protecting those who are really destroying the resources of the country and also the economy of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mr. Brian, you are a director yourself. What message do you see in terms of this topic that we're talking now?
I think, and latching on to what my brother Mr. Noah is saying, I think as leaders of this country, as the new generation that is emerging to take the country forward, we must ensure that we foster a higher level of professionalism in the public sector,
yeah,
and elevate the requirement of integrity in our public sector. I think it is important that we invest in ethical leadership that prioritizes the public interest over personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at
prioritize public interest over personal gain.
Exactly. Because mm-hmm, if you look at most, if not all, cases of corruption or money laundering or other types of embezzlement and fraud that is being perpetrated in this country, it is where personal gain supersede public interest.
Mm.
And we need to understand that our individual stability rests on the foundation and the pillars of our societal stability.
Mm-hmm.
If Namibia becomes unstable and ungovernable,
mm,
because of personal gain that supersedes public interest, then we have a problem. We'll have a continuous problem. Me and you will not sleep peacefully at night.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to guard against. And one of the fundamental ways we can do that is by elevating our professional ethics, our professional integrity,
mm-hmm,
and ensure that appointments, for example, in the public sector is done meritoriously,
mm-hmm,
and not on the basis of patronage.
Mm.
I think that is important, that we need to professionalize the public institutions at a more rapid pace.
Yeah.
The standards must increase, and we need to take Namibia as a country forward and make it more competitive in as far as the public service is concerned.
Mm. So
and there are ongoing efforts in this regard. But I think we need to do it in an accelerated pace.
Indeed. So we can also restore public trust, in other words.
Yeah.
I think let's pause here for now, and then we'll be back after this commercial break. Okay.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa nora etatu.
Did you know the University of Namibia Alumni Association will host its elective annual general meeting on Wednesday, the 5th of November 2025 at 17:30? Now, the meeting will be held virtually, allowing alumni to join from all corners of the world. All UNAM alumni are invited to be part of this important occasion as we reflect on the achievements, discuss key motions, and elect a new executive committee. AGM link will be shared closer to the date and all reports will be available on the UNAM website. Don't miss this opportunity to connect and shape the alumni legacy.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I...
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM. The Eye.
The Eye.
Get the best for less at USAVE. 2 kilograms Omaeta cultured milk, just $48.99. 2 liters of Rietfontein nectar juice, just $34.99. 500 grams of King Polony, just $24.99. Knorr packet soup, $30 for any 5. That's just $6 each. Take a break with Nestle Kit Kat chocolates, just $10.99. And a 2 liter Co-E cool drink, only $12.99. USAVE, your low budget grocery store. Where good food costs less.
And now let's call up our lucky winner for Friday's ShopRite You Save gift voucher. Now just waiting on them. Now, should you be interested or be desiring to also be a winner of the ShopRite You Save gift voucher, ensure that you listen and tune in to On The Reading News Analysis every Monday to Friday and tune in every Friday to ensure that perhaps you are the lucky winner. And unfortunately, this winner is not actually picking up. Okay. We try again later. You're still tuned into On The Reading News Analysis. Let's continue with our topic. Now, of course, Mr. Noah, we are talking about transparency and accountability. And of course, I left off with Mr. Brian talking about just measures that ought to be put in place. But I think at this point, I would want the both of you to speak to the ordinary Namibian. Speak to me, speak to somebody listening. in terms of anti-corruption. What role, and I've asked this question, and now I want you to get to the core, personally addressing I and everyone else, every Namibian, if we are talking about anti-corruption, or we're talking about combating corruption right here in Namibia, what role do I have to play to ensure that corruption becomes at least closer to a zero right here in our country?
Your most important role is a citizen of this country, of course, a proud citizen of this country, is about raising awareness on the destructive effect of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
That should be on the mouth of every citizen, because remember, the effects of corruption will touch on you. It will impact on you, irrespective whether you are part of corruption or you are not part of it.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, those who are involved in corruption, when they destroy the economy, and I want to agree with what Mr. Brian has said, that we need to prioritize public interest over personal interest.
Yes.
Because our observation as the Anti-Corruption Commission is that those who are involved in serious type of corruptions are not really needy people. Are the haves, people who have already, some have more than what they need.
Yes, greedy.
Greedy. It's greedy that it drives them to destroy what is left, what could have helped those needy people.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying that as citizens of this country, wherever you find yourself, you should be an ambassador of raising awareness that corruption can destroy our country.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption does not pay. Corruption may have unfortunate consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Do we not have people who are sitting in jail today?
Yeah.
Some of these people were people who were counting upon them to be leaders of this country. But where are they sitting today?
Mm-hmm. And I think
that is to show that you may do it today, but one day, if you are caught, then it will be unfortunate for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you will be found, maybe you will be a director general somewhere, a minister somewhere, and so on. But then you will go down.
You'll
be falling down. There is no mercy about that. Let us raise awareness, because through awareness, we are preventing. And prevention is the best cure.
Absolutely.
That you can ever have.
It's
the best medicine for this country. We should not be a country characterized by so many corruption investigation cases. Because by having that reputation, remember what Mr. Brown has said about grey listing, that you don't want to be associated with that reputation. The same with corruption. If you have a country that is associated with a reputation of high rate of corruption, then you are in a problem.
Absolutely.
Your country is not worth investing into. Yes, people will think twice before they decide whether they should really come and invest in Namibia. And that becomes very costly.
True.
If we prevent, definitely, we are creating a pleasant environment for the growth of the economy, for development, and create bigger opportunity for everyone.
I think often when a person dies, and especially when they had good potential to contribute to their community, to the economy, and to the country as a large, we often say we have been deprived of what they could contribute. But now it comes into my mind to say, when they do corruption, get caught, go behind bars, they've also deprived Namibia of the potential that they could have been able to contribute. But Mr. Brian, also now speak to me and speak to the listeners, speak to all of us, speak to Tatanoa about how really important it is for all of us to play our part in terms of combating corruption in Namibia.
Very good. I think it cuts to the heart of various issues. So for me and for the FIC as an institution, we always ask ourselves a very basic question, because we like to be basic and very simple, because there's power in simplicity.
Mm.
We ask ourselves, so who are these individuals that commit corruption? Where do they go to at night? Where do they sleep? Whose fathers, whose mothers, whose brothers, whose uncles, whose sisters are they? They were not sent from Mars.
No.
They are ordinary Namibians like me and you that seize an opportunity and want to exploit an opportunity which they are not entitled to.
Yeah.
And Namibia is an open economy. Anybody can set up any business that you want to. Do it legitimately, because corruption is pervasive. If we look at our neighbor just to the south, we have now the Madlanga Commission. And if you look at the Madlanga Commission and you look at the back, the mandate of that commission, it says it's a commission to look into the criminality, political interference and corruption in the criminal justice system. And it shows you or demonstrates the pervasive nature of corruption, that it no entity, no person, no institution is immune to corruption. If we as ordinary Namibians allow that those that are corrupt to come and sleep next to us, to fill our fridges, we are, as Tadenoa said, we are complicit. In fact, we are probably more responsible than those that saw the opportunity. So awareness, blow the whistle, be courageous, because we only have one Namibia.
True.
We only have one country, and if this country goes up in flames, we will have nowhere to run to.
And we'll have ourselves to blame.
That's right. And corruption is systemic, it's pervasive, and if our institutions cannot be trusted, cannot be transparent, cannot be relied upon, then we have a big problem in our country. And we need to guard against that at all times.
Mr. Paulus Noah, what can we expect from the ACC as we approach the end of the current National Anti-Corruption Strategy of 2021 to 2025?
Oh, yes, the Anti-Corruption Commission does not operate in isolation.
Okay.
It operates as part of interagencies.
Alongside stakeholders.
And the expectation of Anti-Corruption Commission is that all the stakeholders should continue being part of the Anti-Corruption Commission so that we can really make this country a better and attractive country for outsiders to come and live here and invest here and build this economy. We are already in that right trajectory, to be frank to you. We are not as bad as some people may perceive. Namibia is doing better, but we must do more. We should not relax, not at all. Our political leaders should continue, but especially those in parliament, passing as much relevant laws as possible to make sure that every possible loophole in the system, you know, is closed. That is what is important, because we operate based on the law. That is what needs to be done. And the other thing again is also for them to understand that when they are determined to fight corruption, it's not only when they perfect the Anti-Corruption Act, other laws as well, because loopholes in other laws is what make the fight against corruption by Anti-Corruption Commission ineffective. Yes, because people use other corners.
Of course.
Another thing again is to make sure that we speed up our process of also of digitalizations of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So that some of the issues like tendering and so on
mm-hmm.
should not always be this face to face, you know.
Yeah.
I tap your back, you tap mine, and all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, technology is advancing. Crime is also becoming sophisticated as a result of technology.
True.
As a result, our laws needed to speak to the current developments in terms of technology.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a court that cannot accept the evidence that is generated through technological means, then it means that we are backwards. We are behind.
Mm-hmm.
We need to introduce all those things. If we have a system that does not have yet plea bargaining system,
yeah.
so that with this, the so-called small fish can bargain with the prosecuting authority
mm-hmm.
so that we can lay down, lay out, go deeper to the bottom of the masterminds when they are prepared to cooperate with the state
yeah.
and turn into state witnesses.
Yeah.
These are all the new developments that we need in our legal system so that we make sure that there is just no room. There's just no chance for those with this corrupt mind to destroy this country.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a very good political hands, definitely. I like the Namibian politicians.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, we must demonstrate and support them and make sure that we give them necessary advice.
Mm-hmm.
Governance is not just by one person. Governance is a participatory system
mm-hmm.
where you find that even the young ones on the street must be part of governance by way of giving their advocacy of what they think needs to be done for their country.
Yeah.
By doing that, you are already part of the governing system. And that is what we need. And this is what we talk about, transparency today.
Mm.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mr. Brian, in terms of the Financial Intelligence Center, also perhaps educating, I'm not sure if you do have that part, which I think you do, educating the public. How then do you perhaps, on a invitation basis, introduce systems to maybe a private company to help combat, obviously, money laundering, terrorism, and all that kind of stuff?
So what we essentially do is, and in some of my opening remarks, I spoke about our oversight function over accountable institutions, for example, banks,
yeah.
the insurance industry, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the non-profit organizations or the what we call the designated non-financial businesses and persons.
Mm-hmm.
For example, your law enforcement, not the law enforcement, your lawyers and your real estate agents. So what we do is, without promoting any particular project, we point those institutions to systems that they can implement to ensure that they strengthen the AML program, the anti-money laundering program within the institution. Let me give you one example.
Yeah.
In terms of terrorism financing, there is what is called the sanction regime. So individuals, companies, etc., gets placed on the United Nations sanction list.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do as an entity for you to prevent conducting business with a sanctioned entity,
mm-hmm.
you can actually screen that person by going onto the FIC website and check, is Brian Aesop a listed person on the UN sanctions list? Or then you have, for example, transaction monitoring systems that bigger entities implement. In other words, they would utilize this tool to strengthen the anti-money laundering framework. And a transaction monitoring tool, for screening tool, for example, will show you abnormalities in transactional behavior of a particular client. So
mm-hmm.
there are certain systems and tools out there. It's obviously some of them are very costly. So the larger institutions has got a little bit more leverage to implement those. But what we advocate for and advise smaller institutions is that you can look towards a shared resource. In other words, if Noah and Aesop has got, a real estate firms, but they are smaller, and you need to implement a particular system. Why don't you have a shared resource which you can implement across the across these two institutions? So that's what we advocate for, because again, some of these systems can be costly, and they, but there are quite a number of systems out there. It's really for those institutions to find an appropriate one that is obviously cost or affordable to themselves.
Okay. Now, as we've come to the closing of our very interesting conversation, I would want to ask you, Mr. Brian, your last words in terms of transparency and accountability, whether it's in finance, money laundering, terrorism, all that.
I think it's important, and in closing, I think it's important that we increase citizen participation and oversight.
Okay.
Because ultimately, we need to hold one another accountable as individuals. Because it's only our collective strength depends on the participation of every individual. I think it's also important that we continuously engage civil society and the media like yourselves, because these are strategic partners in the fight against money laundering, against crime in general, against corruption. You are our ears, you are our eyes, and you are our hands. So you take out the message and create awareness, as Mr. Noah said. And again, we want to encourage each and every Namibian to become a responsible citizen, blow the whistle where you see an irregularity, and make sure that we strengthen our framework, because laws can be on paper.
Yeah.
The effectiveness thereof depends on citizen participation.
Mm.
If you see something is wrong, you need to report it, because ultimately we all carry a responsibility for this country.
Absolutely. Over to you, Mr. Paulus Noah. Your last words we come to the conclusion of this discussion on transparency and accountability.
Yes, my message to the Namibian people is that if there is anything that can put us together as Namibians above any ideologies, is the fight against corruption and organized crime in this country. Fighting corruption must bring us under one roof as citizens, because that responsibility characterizes you as a citizen of this country to say, no, I cannot allow this to happen in my country.
Absolutely.
Irrespective of your religious, your political, or your social ideology. Fighting corruption is your enemy, because it finds you wherever you may find yourself. It will find you in the church and take everything. It finds you in politics. It finds you in these social clubs everywhere. It destroys. When resources are destroyed, there is no discrimination. Every one of us will become the unfortunate victim of that. As a result, I call upon all the Namibian people, all of us, to unite together and confront this animal called corruption together. And that's the only way that we can succeed. And that we can do it when the system, create room for transparency, because transparency builds trust among the societies. And when trust is built, we move in one direction towards one destiny.
Absolutely. It's been such a pleasure to have you, Mr. Noah, in studio with me. And it's been a pleasure to have you, Mr. Brian, in studio with me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's a pleasure. Have a good weekend. And to all the listeners, a good weekend. And let us become responsible Namibians all the time.
Okay.
No, thank you very much. And thank you to the listeners as well. Please take up what we have just discussed here so that we can together build this nation.
Absolutely. And of course, there you had it from Mr. Brian Isab. He is the director of the Financial Intelligence Center. And of course, Mr. Paulus Noah, he is the director general of the Anti-Corruption Commission of Namibia. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back shortly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihawetike.
Okay, and finally we've gotten hold of somebody. A very good afternoon to you.
Yes, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. This is Happy calling you from Eagle FM. You are live now on radio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Who am I speaking to?
Who
am I speaking to? I said this is Happy calling you from Eagle FM. You are live now on radio. What's your name?
I'm Jose Haidimbi.
Jose Haidimbi, I am calling to let you know that you are this Friday's lucky winner of the 500 ShopRite YouSave gift voucher.
All right. Wow, thank you.
Are you excited like that?
Yes.
Am I allowed to change my mind? Because you don't sound very excited.
Thank you very much, Matt.
You're welcome. Where are you finding yourself? Which part of Namibia are you finding yourself?
I'm just in Arandas at Yusei Mall.
Okay. You're from Arandas. Arandas.
Yeah. Yes.
I think you are our first winner from Arandas, hey?
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations. You're welcome. Our team will call you up and let you know how you're going to be able to receive your gift voucher.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Hosea.
Okay.
Bye. And with that, let's just take a quick look at what's making headlines in terms of news beyond the borders of Namibia. And of course, Ethiopia's Green Legacy Initiative is reforesting for the future. Mr. Galison.
Just a few kilometers outside Addis Ababa, the once barren shores of Lake Gafersa in Shaga City have begun to show the impact of the Green Legacy Initiative, a national campaign to plant billions of trees. Here, about 200,000 seedlings have been planted across 30 hectares of land since 2022. Workers tending the seedlings say they are beginning to see the fruits of their hard work.
We've been loosening the soil, watering the seedlings with water from Lake Gefersa, and clearing grass and weeds around them for about a year now, and there's already a visible change. The air feels fresher here. It's almost like food.
Local officials like Dejani Bekele, head of the Agriculture Bureau in Shaga City, are responsible for ensuring these seedlings survive and grow into thriving trees.
On the very day we plant the seedlings, we assign groups and hand over responsibility so they can take ownership and look after them. That's how we've managed to improve the survival rate over time.
Launched in 2019 by Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, the Green Legacy Initiative mobilizes millions of Ethiopians each year to plant trees across both urban and rural landscapes. Officials say more than 48 billion seedlings have already been planted, with around 80% survival rate and resulting in an increase of forest coverage from 17.2% to 23.6% nationwide. Befikadu Brhane, a senior official at the Ministry of Agriculture, explains how those figures are verified.
From the federal level down to the local administration, we have structures in place, stream committees as well as technical committees. These teams strictly evaluate what's being done on the ground and report to higher levels. In addition, experts from various federal offices are also deployed to cross-check these reports with the actual fieldwork. We also use shapefile georeferencing to map where every single seedling is planted, and all that data is stored in our database.
Befikadu says the benefits of the Green Legacy Initiative go well beyond increasing forest coverage.
We have created more than 1.5 million green jobs, about 60% of them benefiting women and young people. Most of these opportunities come from seedling production, supply and farming activities like beekeeping in restored areas. We've seen tremendous change as a result.
Despite visible progress, experts stress the importance of long-term conservation to ensure the planted seedlings survive and mature. They also emphasize diversification in plant species to protect the overall balance of local ecosystems. Dr. Basazin Fentahun, an agrobiodiversity specialist at the Ethiopian Biodiversity Institute, recently visited several Green Legacy Initiative sites in Central Ethiopia region to assess their performance.
What we have observed is the Green Legacy Initiative of Ethiopia is functioning very well. It's functioning very well. The diversity of species being grown under Green Legacy Initiative is getting improved and improved. But it's still there is a room for further improvement. We have to maintain diversity. We have to focus on the distribution of different variety species of plants.
As the Green Legacy continues to grow, preparations are already underway in hundreds of nursery sites like this one to push the number of trees planted to over 54 billion by 2026. Beka Atoma, CGTN, Shagger City.
Bridging the infrastructure gap is seen as crucial to Africa's growth.
A declaration of intent to establish the facility was signed, paving the way for a journey to unlock $3 trillion in investments. The landmark summit drew delegates from across the globe. The shortage of reliable energy, transport, and digital systems, seen as barriers to growth, dominated discussions at the Infrastructure Financing Summit in Angola's capital, Luanda.
This infrastructure deficit limits economic growth, increases production costs, and perpetuates regional inequalities. This is why we are all gathering here today in Luanda, to not only discuss numbers, projects, or financial mechanisms, but to also, above all, reaffirm our common vision of a connected, modern, and resilient Africa.
African leaders are banking on stronger partnerships to bridge an annual funding gap of up to $170 billion. China, the continent's largest trading partner.
And with that, we have now come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengi program brought to you by Matthias Hangara. And of course, the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut from 16:30 and the Business Economic segment today hosted by Indafa Happy Juju. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again at the Business Economic segment from 1800 hours.